Big news in the last 24 hours on the International Health Regulation Amendment. Some really key changes that some are describing as a huge victory for national sovereignty, free speech, and human rights. Others, like myself, remain skeptical. But what is true that there has been a massive climb down from the WHO on many of the concerns that we and others have raised over the past 18 months. But make no mistake, there is much more work to be done. Here's a breakdown of the key changes. Now, the WHO's recommendations will remain non-binding. This is an essential change that was absolutely required. Article 13A.1 would have required member states to follow the directives of the WHO as the single guiding coordinating authority for international public health. The good news, this clause has been dropped entirely. Similarly, an egregious proposal which would have erased any reference to human dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms has been dropped. This is a proposal. This proposal itself was a completely inconceivable eradication of our rights and should never have even been suggested, but it comes as no surprise. Now, provisions that would have allowed the WHO to intervene on the basis of a mere potential health emergency have also been dropped. A pandemic, though loosely defined, must now either be happening or likely to happen. I know, likely to happen. What does that mean? But with the safeguard, at least, that the WHO must demonstrate that coordinated international action is necessary. Now, that sounds a little scary to me based on what we've just seen in the last 4 years. Nonetheless, proposals to construct a global censorship and information control operation led by the, yes, this was in the documents, led by the WHO, have also been dropped. Another big win. There's also a material dampening of the expansionist ambition of the WHO. Provisions which would have proposed to expand the scope of international health regulations to include all risks with the potential to impact public health, e.g. climate change, food supply, or anything else, have also been deleted. Hooray! The scope now remains essentially unchanged, focused on the spread of disease as the original International Health Regulations Amendment set. So there is also explicit recognition that the member states, not the WHO, are responsible for implementing these regulations. It must be taken into international law, domestic law, and bold plans for the WHO to police compliance with all aspects of the IHRs have been materially watered down, but still present. There is work to be done. Many other provisions have also been somewhat diluted, and that is the key word because it's all massaging of words. However, the published document, to make you aware, is still an interim draft, and there is another set of negotiations happening from next week. So anything could still change, positively or negatively, but on the basis of this draft, we can at least say that there has been some victory for the people. However, whilst it's right to celebrate this important stepping stone, we must continue to scrutinize the details and recognize that the whole thing is still predicated on two very flawed assumptions. Firstly, that naturally occurring pandemics are likely to occur again and are highly probable. I don't know about you, but I can't remember the last time anything like this happened. But the WHO is assuming that these threats are around the door with disease X and more. The second is that the mechanisms used to tackle COVID-19 were effective. Clearly, we can see that they've caused great harm, but the entire document is predicated on those very mechanisms, which are a great cause of concern, in addition to the three tools that the WHO continues to hold, which is they can call a public health emergency on anything that relates to a potential pandemic, even though they've dropped some of the other concerns. There is a very loose definition of what that may be. And of course, with the increased surveillance, which is what I'll come on to talk about in a minute, this becomes a really problematic issue. Now, many of the annexes, Annex 2 and 3, give the enormous power to the WHO to raise the alarm. And as I mentioned, the second key problem is this demand for surveillance. Every country, in order to comply with these regulations, must increase its pandemic surveillance capacity within the next 5 years, creating an inevitability that further pathogens will be discovered and potentially deemed a public health risk. Seek and you shall find. Number three, the WHO has the right to manipulate our capacity to judge for ourselves what is a risk by making their narrative of fear the only accepted as a central authority. Now, if we add these three things up, the narratives around the false narratives around pandemic and these tools, then the WHO can still create the illusion of a pandemic and create the threat or the perception of a threat out of thin air, or even a maybe a real threat with gain of function research. Who knows? Now, the whole document still presents the WHO as the sole coordinating authority and places far too much power in the hands of the Director General, including Article 48, which affords the Director General the luxury of handpicking the emergency and expert committees. No room for conflicts of interest there. And even the review committee is selected by the Director General, which is a clear conflict. Now, the WHO can set in motion their pandemic creation cycle at any time, for as long as they want, and thereby direct and foster a global pandemic complex, an industry that's developing on the back of this that will make astronomical gains over the next few years and become ever more powerful as the money flows into this particular agreement. I'm going to break down some other concerns. Article 13 is a significant enabler for the pharmaceutical industrial complex. It requires real close scrutiny. Articles 15 to 17, though referring to recommendations rather than binding agreements, places an undue emphasis on the centralized role of the WHO to direct and coordinate any pandemic or emergency response. This, in my view, remains a massive power grab. Articles 18 through to 34 stipulate and normalizes all of the flawed methods deployed during COVID-19, travel restrictions, quarantine, etc. Articles 35 to 39 and Annex 6 essentially mandates documentation, including proof of vaccination, thus applies a presupposition that people will need to take up the offer of health products, as they now call them, including vaccines, in order to travel, etc., which paves the way for vaccine mandates. Article 43 overemphasizes the need for these health products, as they call them in the terms and conditions, I should say, in the glossary, for access to normal life, i.e. vaccines once again. Article 55 seems to include a waiver on the four-month procedural rule, which stipulates that these things must be sat in front of the member states for at least 4 months. Now, we need to look back to the existing clauses, but it looks like they've basically waived that one out of the agreement this time. There's also a very confusing timescales and language around any reservations or rejections to these amendments and the due process around this within Article 61 to 63. Therefore, as far as I'm concerned, the latest version of the IHR amendments is a temporary victory, but very temporary, because this thing is not over. We must keep moving forward to ensure that these amendments are not passed and that the pandemic agreement is dropped. The very spirit of COVID and the response is embedded in these documents. It forces the legitimization of these things, and it's a real risk to our own health autonomy, our human rights, and our civil liberties, and it risks normalizing all of the madness that occurred during the last few years. So what can we do about this? Well, there's lots more work going on, but we encourage you to come and join us in Geneva on the 1st of June for our major pan-European rally. In fact, it's an international rally. We've got people flying in from Canada, USA, Australia, New Zealand, people driving in from all across Europe. We're forming a convoy to take right into the center of Geneva to tackle these issues. We must make a stand. And ultimately, our campaign in Geneva is not necessarily about rejecting these things. It's about making them obsolete. It's about saying enough is enough. We draw a line. We are following a path of freedom, independence, and self-determination. We want to make these organizations and these documents obsolete because we are carving our own path. So if that sounds like something you want to get involved with, it's going to be a historic campaign right outside the United Nations. We've got full approval from the local authorities to have this rally, thanks to the amazing work of Philip Cruz, the Swiss lawyer. And there's going to be a full rally of talks through the afternoon on Saturday and a march through Geneva. If you are in London or any of the other cities around the world marching for your rights, now is the time to step up once again. Come and join us on the road to Geneva. Go to roadtogeneva.com. Find out how to join our convoy. We've got Telegram groups now set up for most of the countries across Europe, so you can speak in your own language. So my final call to action to you is, if you are concerned about these amendments, then please hit that share button. The real issue we have right now is still censorship. Talking about these issues is incredibly difficult, not because it's a complicated subject matter, but because the tech platforms are trying to suppress the conversation. So hit the share button and go to roadtogeneva.com. Enter your details to keep up to date with the campaign, and we'll keep you informed of any actions that we're taking in the build-up. And we'll help you understand how you can come and be part of the convoy to Geneva. We don't care how you get there, by train, plane, boat, car, just be there. This is going to be an iconic and historic campaign. And we have to now make our pledge that we will walk our own path and self-determine our own destiny.